Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is the GM Shuffle.
When the confetti had just reached the grass, and before Bradshaw handed the trophy to Clark Hunt, everybody in the league said to themselves, well, we're back to 0-0. They all have a chance. So now we're in that whole, we can get this done mode.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos like he is each and every episode. Michael, this is our first off-season episode, buddy. Thursdays has been when we've been previewing the upcoming games for the weekend. Now there's no more games until August, at least with the preseason. But how's the offseason treating you so far?
I don't even know what an offseason. There's no offseason in the NFL. It goes from one to the other. I mean, you know, like I say this, I wrote this column today for VSiN. When the confetti had just reached the grass and before Bradshaw handed the trophy to Clark Hunt, everybody in the league said to themselves, well, we're back to 0-0. They all have a chance. So now we're in that whole, we can get this done mode. So we'll see how that works out and move forward. I mean, look, this is going to be a fascinating offseason. And with the quarterback shuffling, the movement, it and how teams build, how they look at the Eagles, how they looked at the Chiefs. I mean, Mahomes saying, you know, this was our rebuilding year. I mean, when you have Patrick Mahomes, are you really ever rebuilding? Seriously. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was a hell of a season for the Kansas City Chiefs. Once again, congratulations to them winning their second Super Bowl in 4 years. But you mentioned teams now starting to reset the decks, and we saw that happen here in Las Vegas with the Raiders. They officially released Derek Carr. We've been talking about this kind of being something that's going to come down the pike here, and it finally does. Carr leaves as the franchise's all-time leader in yards, completions, and touchdowns. Also, though, in 2022, he had the third highest interception rate and the second lowest red zone completion percentage per ESPN stats and info. Now that Carr is on the open market here, which team do you think is best suited to bring on Derek Carr? We have the odds from another sports book and they have the market up of where will Derek Carr play next. The Carolina Panthers are actually the favorite at plus 140, the Saints plus 150, Jets plus 275, then a big drop off to the Buccaneers at 8-1, Commanders and Patriots at 14-1. Where would you put your money if you had to bet it?
I would scratch the Patriots off that. I don't think they would be interested in Carr, not because they're not competing for Mac Jones, but that I don't think Carr fits that program. For me, I would say the Panthers, you know, Carr is, I mean, the Panthers are a very Christian-based team right now. I mean, Frank Reich is very Christian, Jim Caldwell. There's a lot of people within that, not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not suggesting this whatsoever. It's just very, you know, like Frank Reich doesn't even curse. Can you imagine if we had him on this podcast? He doesn't even curse. I don't know how you live through. It's like not drinking. I mean, it's hard, right? You know, I mean, it's hard. You know, as Dean Martin says, when you wake up in the morning, that's the best you're going to feel all day, huh?
It's explicit content, the GM shuffle. So I don't know if Frank Reich is listening to us.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know how the hell you get through life without dropping a few F-bombs. I mean, geez. So, but anyway, and Carr's that too. Carr fits that kind of mold understanding. And look, they have a good, the James Camp and the line coach have done a really good job. They have good protection. They can run the ball. Carr's got to go somewhere with a good line and protection. But I think this whole releasing thing has a lot to do with nobody having a willingness or a tolerance to pay that contract. You know, Carr can frame it any way he wants. Well, I wanted to get out of there. You know, I didn't want to get traded. I wanted to be. The reason you want to set your own market is two things. You either think somebody's going to pay more than 40 a year. He had $40 million coming to him for the next 3 years. That's 120. So if you think somebody's out there who's willing to pay you more than that and you could get into some competition, then why wouldn't you just go ahead, right? But if you think nobody's willing to pay that based on he spent 2 days in New Orleans, then maybe you just say to yourself, look, let's see what our market value really is. They'll frame it any way they want. I mean, one thing about Carr, he's got a good PR machine. He could frame it. But it'll be interesting to see the contract, who wanted to pay for it and who didn't.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting part of this. So, Carr, on the open market, you think Carolina would be a good fit? We've already seen the New Orleans Saints players campaigning, one in particular, Cam Jordan, their star defensive lineman. He had the Photoshop of Derek Carr in a Saints jersey and had the caption of, So, Cam Jordan wants another quarterback. Maybe Derek Carr could be that guy. It feels like the NFC South. However, maybe the New York Jets would get into this conversation if they're not able to lock down an Aaron Rodgers. I think the interesting part with Carr is because he's tied to the hip of Rodgers and kind of these quarterback dominoes. Does he wait for Rodgers to kind of make his decision, and do teams wait for Rodgers to make his decision before exploring Derek Carr as their potential next quarterback?
Well, I think, you know, this is a little bit like shopping, right? So, you know, you need a pair of shoes, but what kind do you need? Are you going to buy the real expensive pair, or are you going to buy the cheaper pair? And a lot of it is price determined. So, you know, if you know you're going to go, if you're going to wait on Rodgers, you know that's going to be an expensive proposition. Maybe Carr will be less. So what I think people lose sight of in this free agency is that a lot of teams are just basically checking prices. They don't really have interest. They're checking prices. And so when you check prices, what's it going to cost to get Carr as opposed to what's it going to cost to get Rodgers plus compensation? See, there's more than just I want the player. The fans just want the player. They don't deal with the cost or the trade thing. So they just say, okay, give me the player. Whereas you've got to measure that. And so as a general manager, a little bit like a short order cook right now, you got shit cooking on one side, you got other things. You got to work all three areas. Plus, you know you're in competition with other teams. So it's really, you got to be a balancing act, and you got to be disciplined to say, hey, I'm willing to spend X for here. If I don't get X, I'm going to Y. If I don't get Y, I'm going to Z. And if I don't get that, I'm coming here. But I'm going to get somebody. You got to have a lot of balls in the air.
And I think that's kind of what we saw last year with the amount of teams saying, all right, like there's these guys that are all available, whether it was potentially Rodgers, Russell Wilson was available via trade. There were so many quarterbacks that were shuffling around, Tom Brady, then all of a sudden returns from retirement. Watson was available as well in the open market. So there was,
I mean, not one
the
open market, but why,
via trade for Watson.
But think about this. One of the reasons why Carolina didn't go all in on signing Hassan Riddick, which they should have, was they needed to save money for Watson. Okay. So they need to save money for Watson because they were going to be in the Watson thing. So they didn't want to go and spend for Riddick, even though they could have, you know, now looking back on it, they should have, you know, if they would have had Riddick alongside of Burns,
oh my god,
they might have made the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so think about that, just that little bit right there, that decision to hold back and then come out empty handed cost you a blue chip defensive rusher. So that's what you got to be really careful about. You got to almost say, okay, you know, how this works. And the timing is hard. You know, Carolina easily could have paid Riddick. I mean, Matt Rhule was his coach. He would have stayed there. I mean, the Eagles made a great deal, don't get me wrong, but the Panthers could have matched the deal.
Yeah. No, but when you're earmarking money for a potential mega extension for a quarterback, that's kind of the predicament that you find yourself in. If you were a general manager, though, so would you wait for Rodgers to kind of figure out what he's doing before pursuing? I mean, obviously you're working these things at the same time.
No, I'd work them all. I'd work them all. I'd find out, you know, I would tell Carr, we're interested. Here's where we are. Where are you financially? You know, I would call. I would be involved with everybody, because the more people you're involved with, the less people know what you're doing.
Mm.
Because you're going to get Palacero, Rappaport, everybody's going to report to help their Twitter feed that, hey, I hear like the news, this is going on. When you and I often talk about it, that's not news. We've known about that for weeks, right?
Yeah.
So we know that's what's going to happen. So the more lines you throw into the water, nobody really knows what you're doing.
And that's a really good way to put that. So we will see what happens. And obviously we'll have a lot of time to talk about Derek Carr. I mean, free agency doesn't start for another month here. So I'm sure he'll make his decisions. We'll find out what Aaron Rodgers decides when he comes out of the darkness retreat that he's currently in. I think he comes out later this evening or maybe tomorrow morning. I'm not sure, Michael, if you've checked on Rodgers and seen what's going on in that darkness retreat or what goes into said retreat. But it's going to be a really, really fun offseason with these quarterbacks changing teams. We think, at least on Rodgers' front, we know on the Derek Carr front. We talked about it on Monday, but to make it official, the Eagles lose their coordinators, offensive and defensive. Shane Steichen hired by the Indianapolis Colts, 37 years old. And this is a hire where it's obviously an offensive mind with Shane Steichen and what he can potentially do with a quarterback here. But we talked about and raised some concerns about how maybe this isn't the best fit for what Steichen needs, given the fact that they've already attached him to a defensive coordinator and also a special teams coordinator already in place. Like, this is kind of the contractor thing that you always talk about.
Yeah, they definitely went subcontractor. They like Bradley. The whole organization liked Bradley. You know, even though Saturday takes the heat for the blown lead, you know, for not keeping the lead, but mm-hmm. You know, that was their defense out there on the field, too. You know, Bradley's a very likable guy. He's very good. He's got great energy. You know, he's a guy that fits into the building. His scheme is easy for a personnel guy to find players to fit into. It's not a complex scheme. Young guys can play. So that's kind of what it is. And so I think they had that. Bubba Ventrone's a really good special teams coach. I mean, like, keeping him made all the sense of the world. You're not going to get a better special teams coach than that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So then with that, you know, now you need somebody. And I think this is more about who can Steichen pick the quarterback and develop him, right?
Yep.
I'm not sure Steichen picked Hurts. I think actually Jeffrey Lurie picked Hurts. I think he was the impetus behind it all. I think he really liked Hurts. And I'm not saying other people didn't. I'm not trying to criticize anyone here, but I'm saying that's my understanding. And because of that, you know, I think, you know, now look, he developed them. And so by developing them, I think that's where he got this job. Because if you're Chris Ballard, you're saying, look, I've missed on the quarterback. Now, he's had a quarterback guru in there. He's had Frank Wright, mm-hmm. and Frank Wright's missed on it three times. You know, he missed Rivers. Wasn't really a miss, but it was. You know, then Wentz and Ryan. So, you know, I think this is what it's for. And it keeps you kind of, okay, we're not that bad of a team. If we fix the quarterback position, we could be one of those teams that go from, you know, the fifth pick of the draft to making the playoffs.
Steichen was introduced to the media earlier this week, and he was there alongside the general manager, Chris Ballard, the owner, Jim Irsay, and they were asked about kind of the quarterback development and all that stuff leading into this draft. Well, here's what Jim Irsay had to say when the topic of QBs and the draft came up.
We're not hiding, you know, no one can shy away from the fact what quarterback means in this league and how we have to look going forward, where Shane and Chris really, you know, dig into this draft and really see where you're at. Do you stay put? Do you trade up? You know, there's many things you can do. They took Jalen in the second round. So, trade back. So, he likes
that'll
picks.
That'll be a Twitter freaking clone.
He likes picks. Although the Alabama guy doesn't look bad, I tell you. But it'll be exciting, and I think that shows that we have talent here, those games. So we're looking forward to Shane really coming in and utilizing that talent.
Oh, maybe is Irsay there kind of giving away the plot here a little bit? Ballard had to jump in and say trade back. I mean, yeah. Irsay wants to get aggressive.
I think that's what they'll do. I mean, look, it's too early, right? So mm-hmm. we're right now, we're February the 16th. So, yep. you know, the scouts are kind of putting together their board, and the coaches haven't gotten involved. Their start this week, you know, coaches are on free agency this week, and then they start on the draft. Once that happens, you know, like you take Anthony Richardson, somebody's going to have to say to a personnel guy, I'm willing to work with Richardson. I can make him a good player. And Richardson's going to have to prove to people that he's got the ability to work hard. I mean, what separates Hurts from all these other guys who haven't been able to transition, or Josh Allen, is their work habits. They improve their accuracy through their work habits. So that's where Richardson's going to have to do a really good job of proving that. So I think it's way too early. I think it's, you know, look, I still think if you have any team that has a grading system is going to have a hard time moving Young up that high unless they just decide, okay, we're going to give away. We're not going to worry about our system. We'll see.
Yeah, that's the interesting part about this, because Bryce Young, he's a former Heisman Trophy winner. And when you watch him at Alabama, he was awesome. And you could see how somebody would fall in love with what Bryce Young can do. But also, from a size standpoint and the measurable standpoint, he is kind of the exception to the rule. And I actually just saw this tweet from the 33rd team on their Twitter account. I'll give them a shout out. And it's a quote from Bill Parcells, the former Hall of Fame head coach, who we talk about a lot here on this pod. And he said, quote, Tom Landry told me one time, Bill, if you start drafting exceptions, pretty soon you're going to have a team full of exceptions.
I mean, I've used that line too. I mean, that's exactly, and Coach Parcells is getting it exactly from there. So why did Landry tell that to Parcells? Well, because the Landry grading system, the one that really was instrumental in my life, when I learned it, when I first started working with the 49ers in 1984, our offices were in this room, and behind, it was this really small building, and there was a little kitchen. And before, but you had to walk into this office to get into the kitchen. And then behind the kitchen was this room just filled with bookshelves. And on those bookshelves were all the college reports from years and years gone back. You could go back as far as they were writing them. And they were all done by year. And so what I would do as a young scout, I would read those reports. And I learned the Cowboy grading system, which was designed by Gil Brandt. Mm-hmm. It was also with Landry and the United States Army. And so what they did was they put letter grades on players. So like a I player was clean. That meant that that player had size and speed for the position. And if he didn't have that, then he got another letter. And there was all sorts of lettering systems. And so when you took a player who was undersized and tried to move him up the board, the system wouldn't let you do it. It prevented you from doing it. Scouts in Cleveland used to bitch to me all the time. I this guy's better than a 62. We can't make him we got to make him better than a 62. It doesn't fit the profile. That's scouting inside out, not outside in. See, scouting is about elimination. It's not about finding. So when you eliminate certain people that don't meet the criteria, you got to do it. Now, there are exceptions. You know, there are Barry Sanders who doesn't meet the height requirement. He could be, you know, but they're one every 4 years. They're not all exceptions. And that's what Coach Parcells is talking about. I mean, see, Parcells got that system, that Cowboys system, when he went to New York with George Young, who ended up taking it kind of and modifying it. So all those systems. So I was reading Cowboy reports and that had the system, and the Giants had their system based on size and speed, which was similar to that. And I wrote about it in my book. Bucko Kilroy, the former Cowboy scout, former Patriot personnel guy, Hall of Fame. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He should be. But it was a player, all-decade team player. He kind of helped develop that system. And that really has helped move and transposed it.
Yeah, no, I think that's really an interesting part about scouting, about how you have these sort of frameworks, and we talk about teams having certain types that they like. Hey, we like this kind of cornerback. We like this kind of offensive tackle. Here's our thresholds. And we'll get into that even in more detail once we get closer to draft season here. But the Colts, with Shane Steichen, they do have a head coach that's worked with different types of quarterbacks. He's worked with Jalen Hurts. He's worked with Justin Herbert. So I think that kind of opens things up for them because they need a quarterback at the top of the draft, and maybe they end up moving up to number one, or maybe they trade back, like Chris Ballard says, and get a bunch of draft picks. But I don't think Colts fans would appreciate trading back with all the QBs that we have in this draft. I can't wait to get into these. You mentioned Anthony Richardson. I've already seen the clips surfacing around on Twitter. My goodness, man. It matches what you see on the team. Like, I get his stats weren't good, but the talent is just ridiculous of what that kid can do. If somebody can harness that, they might have a big time quarterback on their hands. So Steichen now goes to Indianapolis, and we hear that Jonathan Gannon has been hired by the Arizona Cardinals, 40-year-old former defensive coordinator of the Eagles. And we really went in on Gannon on Monday about his game plan in the Super Bowl, and I think rightfully so. But there's clearly something that people around the league like about Jonathan Gannon. Last year, he was really popular with the head coaching interviews, got deep into the process with the Houston Texans. This year, he made the rounds as well before settling on the Arizona Cardinals. What is it about Gannon behind the closed doors that people really like about him as maybe as a leader and a cultivator of culture?
You know, I don't know. I don't know him. You know, I only watch the tape, and there are a lot of people I respect in the league really like him. As I said, I think I said it on the show, but I think he was going to get the the Houston job if DeMeco Ryans would have taken another job. So He was really well liked. I mean, there's no denying that he's very well liked within it. I guess he must interview really well. You know, he's smart. I guess he has a plan. He understands what he wants to do from that plan and move forward. So for me, I think ultimately he must be very impressive in the interview. I don't know when watching the tape, you know, if you could sit there. Like I said to somebody in the league, did Mahomes have a hard throw the whole day? Now, you know, you watch that tape and it's not easy because guys are slipping and sliding. I get it. Mm-hmm. They're all over the place, right? So it was hard to get footwork and really rush the passer. I mean, the only time you really could get pressure on him is when you just powered the pocket back. I mean, that's what Philly should have just done. Should have said, no more stunts. We're not running stunts anymore. We're just going to power this pocket back because we're slipping all over the place and we can't get our footing. But, I mean, I think he obviously must interview really well. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles the offense, how he handles the meeting. You know, I mean, look, Mike Vrabel wasn't a great defense coordinator at Houston.
Yeah.
He's a great head coach.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of the model here for Jonathan Gannon. And you don't have to be an X's and O's guy to be a really good head coach. As long as you can command the respect of everybody in the room and you know what you're doing and you understand situational football, it can really work out. The thing, though, that is interesting with Gannon, though, is that now he has this situation where the quarterback is injured, Kyler Murray. And I'm not sure if you saw the video on social media. He's already met Kyler Murray. They were showing him over in, the weight room. Kyler's already begun his rehab there with the knee injury. He said he's excited to work with Kyler Murray. How does he kind of get the mayor back on track and get this Cardinals team back on track in 2023?
Well, I think he's got to hold them accountable. He's got to say, look, we start a new slate. You know, I've been reading this book called The Earned Life. And in The Earned Life, it talks about this CEO who basically spent so much time, you know, with his family that he lost his kids growing up, and then as he became a grandfather, he kind of reconnected and became more, and the wife would constantly complain to him, you know, you really missed your kids, and he would then say, you know, look, I'm not the same person I was. I think you got to tell Murray that you can't be the same person you were. You got to change. This is a new regime. This is a new era. This is something that's going to have to change for you, because if you don't change, we can't win. You know, it's the old Belichick. We've done it your way. It doesn't work. We're going to do it my way now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's got to do. And he's got to be firm, and he's got to have the backing of the owner. I mean, because the contract's going to be in front of him the whole time, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to honor it. You know, look, he's going to be hurt. They're not going to rush him back on the field. They're going to be extra careful, and they're going to go get a quarterback, whomever it is, to kind of bridge the gap, whether it's Senator McCoy or whether it's someone else.
Senator McCoy, I like that. The guy could be a politician with the way he's been around the league and for how long.
I told him that I did an interview with him at the Super Bowl with him and Danny Cannell and Dustin. I forget his last name, but the former Oklahoma player, you know,
Dvorak.
Yeah, Dvorak. Yeah, and so yeah, Dusty wanted to see what Al Davis have drafted me. Oh fuck, no, you went too slow. There's no way. I can't have that.
I'm sure Super Bowl Radio Row was a lot of fun there. It'll be here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, you're going. You're like you're in a meat market. I felt like, you know, it's like the old Upton Sinclair line. You know, life for all its glory and desires, it's not so good for the person or the hawk. I mean, either way, you know,
it's like the combine, but for media people. You're interviewing with all the teams. You're interviewing with all the affiliates. that's what it's like for media folks. Michael, let's take our first break, and we'll continue this conversation, but from the Philadelphia Eagles side after they lost both of their coordinators. This is the GM Shuffle. Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, let's do our final exit interview of the season. The Philadelphia Eagles, NFC champions. They come up short in the Super Bowl 38-35 to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. And a big offseason ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles. We detailed in the last segment how they have lost both of their coordinators, Jonathan Gannon to the Arizona Cardinals, Shane Steichen to the Indianapolis Colts. And let's start there, because how big of an impact is that, having to replace your two coordinators from a team that made it all the way to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, obviously it's hard. I mean, Steichen was calling the plays, and you know, Sirianni's still there, so he's going to have continuity. Mm-hmm. They promoted the quarterback coach from within. I mean, you kind of had to knew this was going. I'm sure Sirianni will take a deeper role. It's going to be interesting to see where they go defensive coordinator. You know, had this happened 2 weeks earlier, I think they would have hired Vic Fangio, who was, you know, Vic was helping the defense, but he was really helping the offense in that kind of counterintelligence program, you know, where, you know, a lot of offensive coaches don't understand the defense. Mm-hmm. They understand the scheme. They don't understand why the scheme's there. They don't understand the nuances of the scheme. And that's what, you know, great coaches of all, that's why Landry was a great offensive mind. He coached defense. I mean, remember, Landry's the guy that put the flex in. He was the defense coordinator for the Giants. Mm-hmm. when Lombardi was the offensive coordinator, but yet he called plays in Dallas when he got there. You know, that whole notion, well, you coach defense, you can't, you know, if you understand it, you can. Now, sometimes it don't work out. You know, obviously with Patricia, it didn't. Yeah. With Juan Castillo, it didn't. There are. And so when you learn it from that standpoint, it helps. I think it'll be fascinating to see who they go to defensively. I think they need to look. I think this is, they need to get out of where they are in terms of when you watch that tape and they tried to play man in that game, it wasn't very good. You know, it was not very good. And when they played zone, you know, if the rush wasn't getting there, it wasn't very good. Their back seven, you know, got exposed because their front was the deodorant to cover up everything. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, you know, when they were running stunts, they fell down, they slipped, they were, you know, but the receivers were slipping too. So it was a slip affair for everybody. But I think to me, if I were them, I would want to find somebody from the Martindale school or from the little bit more aggressiveness, because the one thing is with Spagnuolo on defense, look, Spagnuolo gets bailed out by his offense. But in fairness to Steve, he's just trying to create a negative play because he knows if he gets the ball back to his offense, they're going to score. But if he lets them work it down the field like they did, and he lets them have that ability to convert third downs at the pace the Eagles were converting, that limits the amount of time. I mean, Cincinnati's won 3 games because Cincinnati's controlled the football. Mm-hmm. And Steve couldn't create a negative play, right? And even in the last game, they were controlling the football. So to me, if I'm Philly, I want to get somebody with some aggressiveness to get the ball back to my offense to let them, so we could win the game with the offense. I'm not looking for somebody to be number one in yards allowed. I'm looking for somebody to be number one in turnovers created.
Yeah, force the issue, I think, is what you want to do when you have a really good offense like the Eagles have, because the best chance to win is to have the ball in Jalen Hurts and that offense's hands and go down the field and score points. This is the Eagles, they're becoming the first team since the 1994 San Francisco 49ers to have to replace both offensive and defensive coordinators and losing them to head coaching positions. Mike Shanahan that year went on to be the Denver Broncos head coach. Ray Rhodes went on to be the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, both of them coordinators of that 94 Niners team. That's one of the better teams that we've seen over the last 30, 35 years, won the Super Bowl over the Chargers. In terms of the offensive coordinator spot, the name that's been floating around there, I saw Jonathan Jones of CBS put this out there. Their quarterbacks coach, Brian Johnson, who's been
I think they've already hired him. Now, I think they have to go. I shouldn't say they've already hired him because I think they have to go through they have to go through the Rooney rule here too. So I think they have to do that. But I mean, I would say he is the probably favorite to get the job unless they find somebody through the interview process. But look, they're not going to change who they are. I mean, they have to sign. Everything's attached to the scheme, right? So we're going to sign Hurts back. We're going to keep running this six-back attack. I mean, why wouldn't we? It was so effective. I mean, when you go back and watch the Super Bowl, I mean, you know, other than a couple, you know, like four plays that, you know, that cost them the game. He switches hands with the ball, fumbles for the touchdown. You know, he's got a 3rd and 11 he can't convert. They kind of throw a check down, and they tackled him before that. That kicked the field goal. But for the most part, I mean, they played as well as you could play. They had guys open on the field he didn't throw to. On the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown, he's got Smith running, Devontae Smith running wide ass open on the other side. I mean, you know, the seam route, he's got the seam and the outside route wide open. I mean, there were guys wide open on that field. So it wasn't like the scheme, they're going to change the scheme.
Yeah. No, the Hurts conversation, though, is interesting because now this offseason he's eligible for an extension. And I think the conversation is going to be, what should that look like? Does he need to get that big time extension that we've seen Mahomes get? I'm sure Joe Burrow is going to get a big extension. Justin Herbert is probably going to get a big extension as well this offseason. Adam Schefter of ESPN, he reported that Hurts' next contract will be north of $45 million per year. Is that where this thing is heading? As many of these young guys are.
I don't know how you can't. I mean, look, we said it on the pod. The best quarterback on that field that day was Hurts. That doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in the league. But that's coming a long way from a guy. And this is a statement from me who I didn't think Hurts could throw with any anticipation. Now, I say that. I'm not sure he can because when you watch their offense, it's all half-field reads. It's all high-lows. He doesn't have to anticipate throws. And his accuracy has been improved. So they've done a great job of structuring the offense around his skill set. So they're going to have to pay him. Now, the problem is when you pay him, what happens if he gets hurt? I mean, what happens? You know, you're going to be that's got to be a concern for you.
Yeah. Do you get it? You have to probably think that Philly will be in the QB2 market, I would imagine, this offseason, because I know Gardner
mentioned. I mean, if I was Philly, I would draft Anthony Richardson and use him as the other, you know, kind of go into that double quarterback offense. Then you really screw teams up.
Yeah, that's innovation right there. I don't want Anthony Richardson in the NFC East, though. I'll go on the record saying that, what he can
do. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's a quarterback. That's my thing. I think he's a runner. He's a playmaker. He's kind of a slash. You remember we called Cordell Stewart slash, right? Yeah, I mean, I think he's more slash. He could never. I don't think he's ready to go play an NFL game based on what I saw at Florida down after down. But man, he's got some skill. There's no doubt.
Yeah, the highs on his tape it's ridiculous. If you haven't watched him yet, go.
The lows are ridiculous too, fam. Now you know. I mean, you got to take those. I got to get you to Pearl Vision Center sooner than later.
Hey, what do you mean? I get tantalized by the skill set, man. I'm always going to be biased to big time talents, and just because I look at them, I'm like,
I thought Richardson had a chance to win the Heisman, but I was really disappointed in his ability with Billy Napier at quarterback as coach. I was disappointed in his progress.
Yeah, no, we'll have the Richardson conversation as well as the Stroud, the Young, the Levis. I know that's a guy that's been kind of kicked around and bandied about as a potential top 5, top 10 pick out of Kentucky. But back to the Eagles side of this, though, where do they need to get better in terms of their team? Is it on offense, on defense, special teams? Clearly, we detailed that in the lead up to the game. But where do you think the Eagles need to get better? Because this is probably the best roster in football.
Well, but look, they're going to they're not going to sign Fletcher Cox back. They're not going to sign Sue back, right? Robert Quinn's probably, I mean, unless they get him on a cheap deal. They have seven of their defensive starters are free agent. I don't think Bradbury will be back. You know, I think they'll sign Gardner Johnson back. Their two starting linebackers are free agents, you know? And so, you know, they're going to have to spend, if they spend $45 million on Hurts, you know, the starting right guard is out. You know, he's a free agent. I mean, these guys are going to get paid. Just like they lost two coaches, these guys are going to get paid. Bradbury's already said, I'm not coming back on a cheap deal. Yeah, I got it. You know, so, you know, they're going to get paid. And when you win, players get paid. Minshew's a free agent. So they're going to have to spend some money. This team will look a lot differently, but I would say they're going to have to replenish the defensive lineman that they've lost. Hargrave, to me, was spectacular for them, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get him back. You know, I mean, obviously they drafted Jordan Davis to play in there, but now they have Milton Williams and Jordan Davis as their two starting tackles as they go in the offseason. They need more depth there. Brandon Graham, you know, I doubt if he comes back. You know, Derek Barnett was on IR most of the year. They still have Riddick back there. So, I mean, it's going to take some time. I mean, they're going to have to refix this defense a little bit, especially they're going to have to play some man-to-man. They have to get some corners that can cover in man-to-man that become more of a man team to zone than a zone team to man.
Well, the good thing for the Eagles, they have an immense draft capital. They have the number 10 pick in this year's draft, courtesy of the New Orleans Saints. They have four picks inside the top 100. They picked 30th overall, their own first-round pick. Then they have their second-round pick and their third-round pick. They also have two sevens.
They picked 30. Oh, that's right. We only have 30 picks. Yeah. Somebody lost it.
Yeah, I forgot who it was that got their first-round pick stripped away. That's lost my mind. I forgot who that was. But, yeah, there's only 31 first-round picks this season. After I think somebody was it Miami, I think, that lost theirs? Or
yeah, Miami lost their first rounder. Yep, Miami.
Yeah, because of the whole tampering thing with Sean Payton and all that. God, that feels like 10 years ago when that happened. But I'm also concerned about this Eagles offensive line as well, Michael, because Jason Kelce is also a free agent. He's 35 years old. Could he retire?
I think he's deciding whether he's going to retire or keep playing. I think he keeps playing.
You think he's going to keep?
Why not? He's still a good player.
He played at a high level.
He's still playing. I mean, the right guard, Samola, he's a free agent. He'll get paid. I mean, any offensive lineman that makes it to the market will get paid. Mm-hmm. Now, they have Cam Jurgens, who they drafted to replace Kelce eventually.
Yep.
So they have the 10th pick in the draft. I mean, they can improve that. I mean, I could see if they could find a defensive lineman. They got a lot of work to do this offseason. They have to overcome, too, this whole, you know, we got to get this taste out of our mouth. It's hard for them. I mean, look, that was a tough deal. I mean, they're going to have to get some of their young players. Like, they drafted Dean from Georgia. He's going to have to go play linebacker. You're going to have to rely on some younger players.
No, they most definitely are. Lane Johnson also
played. Because once you pay the quarterback, you're paying the quarterback, right? They're paying A.J. Brown, right? They're going to want to pay Devontae Smith at some point. They're paying Lane Johnson. You know, they're paying – I mean, they got players they're paying. I mean, it isn't like they got a cheap – they're not – like. They had the right blend of a team that was young, but a team that had some experience, you know, and they'll enter the offseason with like Darius Slay's cap number is at $26 million and Lane Johnson's at $24 million. I mean, so you know, they don't have a contract for, you know, they got to sign Kelce's at $11 million. You know, Brandon Graham, I think they'll get, you know, they'll remove from him. And they'll keep moving on, but they're got a lot of guys that are going to have to, like, there'll be lingering money left from players.
Lane Johnson underwent surgery today to repair his torn abductor that he had been playing through the final month or so of the regular season and the playoffs. It's going to be a 10 to 12 week recovery period, so he should be good to go by training camp, but I would guess that he probably takes it easy during the OTAs and minicamp portion of the offseason, because that's, I mean, quite frankly, not as important for somebody who's as much experience as Lane Johnson, and we'll see him come July and August. But Michael, let's take another break. We'll get back to some other news and notes with some coordinator news from around the NFL. All right, as somebody who's trying to get into golf, I need to start fresh. Where do I get good golf clubs? Well, you got to start with your driver, right? So I needed to find a place that would help get me set up with something that's customizable to my game that is ever so developing. That's where our friends at PXG really step up, because nobody makes golf clubs the way they do. PXG clubs have absolutely incredible customizable technology that'll have you playing your best. I mean, shout out to my buddy Chris out here in Henderson, Nevada, who's hooking me up with a driver. I'm supposed to pick it up next week. It's going to be great as I go out there onto the range and test this thing out. You can find a PXG location for your own personal fitting to where you go through the simulation process. They figure out what you need. Do you need more club speed? Do you need more grip? Whatever you need, they get it done for you. The PXG Black Ops Driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving club will play, so you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and to get distance. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology, and you get incredible ball speed that pushes distance to the absolute limits. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's lost its meaning, but trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/gmshuffle and use code GMshuffle at checkout. That's pxg.com/gmshuffle, code GMshuffle for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/gmshuffle, code GMshuffle. All right, we talked about the Philadelphia Eagles in the last segment and how they lost both of their coordinators, Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. But interestingly enough, the defending now Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, they did not lose any of their coordinators. Steve Spagnuolo, he's going to be their defensive coordinator for a long time probably. But on the offensive side, Eric Bieniemy is the interesting point. Now, today Bieniemy is going to interview with the Washington Commanders for their OC job. But Bieniemy has had reportedly 12 different head coaching interviews in 5 years, but for some reason cannot get a job. And with an offensive coordinator of his resume there with two Super Bowls under his belt, why is it that Bieniemy cannot get that head job there in the NFL?
You know, I'm not in the interview, so I don't know. But obviously, somebody's not impressed in that conversation. And then I think what Andy Reid be in the presence that he is in Kansas City is who's running it. You know, Andy was very, very, very gracious in giving immediately after that game, giving Bieniemy praise and adoration and all that. And yet, you know, I think in the interviews, I mean, you have 12 interviews, Femi. You're not being ignored. I mean, something's going wrong. Something's up. I don't know what it is. But I can't imagine that 12 teams that sit there that says we don't want the guy. I mean, there's got to be a reason. Maybe he's not presenting itself correctly. Maybe he doesn't answer. I don't know. I'm not in the room. But I do think he needs to break away from the Chiefs. I think he needs to go out there and say, hey, I can do this. I mean, Bill Walsh left Paul Brown because he didn't think Paul Brown was promoting him for a head coaching job. So he left and went down and went to the Chargers, ran their offense, and then went to Stanford. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Look, I suggested and got ridiculed on Twitter that he should have taken the Colorado job 3 years ago. You know, he deserves a head coaching job. Well, Deion deserved one too, but Deion went to Jackson State, and now he's at Colorado. So I just think to me, you know, I can't explain the why. You know, I don't understand it. I can only tell you that I think for him, he needs to show that he can do this on his own without Andy Reid cloud hanging over him. I mean, they almost did it last year, remember? I mean, they were losing Kafka. They didn't want to lose Kafka because he was a free agent. But so they had to try to figure out something there.
Yeah, and Kafka went over to be the New York Giants offensive coordinator.
Remember, and then Bieniemy ended up, you know, there was talk he wasn't coming back last year.
Uh-huh. Well, there's been talk about like Bieniemy, and I don't know if maybe he's just not the easiest person to work with. I mean, I don't know. I don't really buy into all that stuff because the Chiefs players seem to like him and they seem to win. So, I mean, if the guys that are winning Super Bowls like him, I'll take their word for it. But the whole Andy Reid part of this is what confuses me, because we saw Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy also in this same spot, and those guys got head coaching jobs. Doug Peterson got the Philadelphia Eagle job. Matt Nagy, who's now back with Kansas City as a quarterback's coach, he got the Chicago Bears job, being the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Neither of those guys called plays, and for some reason that's now being held against Eric Bieniemy here, who's called plays and has been working with Mahomes and has won two Super Bowls.
I mean, do you think the system's fair? I mean,
no.
I mean, look, Amoromo holds fucking Cincinnati to under 30 points every time he plays them. He loses out to Jonathan Gannon. You know, Martindale gets one interview. You know, he plays with basically not a lot of players. He can't even get a sniff. You know, I mean, like, I can't explain it. I think the system's completely flawed. I don't know what goes into making. I mean, how did Carolina decide on Frank Wright based on him not fixing the offense in Indianapolis? Explain that to me. How does Jim Caldwell not get a head coaching job when he was the last coach to take Detroit to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I can't explain it. I mean, it's bizarre to me. It's bizarre. I mean, how do you watch Jonathan Gannon's defense? Like, you're not going to be as talented as the Eagles if you're on defense. And they gave up 37 to Kansas City in 24 minutes. 24 minutes. Well, like Kansas City had the ball for 37 minutes. They gave it up in 24 minutes. Now, they gave up 30 in 24 minutes because of the turnover. But the reality of it is like, what did he do on that field to say, got to have that guy. I'm not letting him leave Phoenix. Like, I can't explain it. Meanwhile, Amoromo, he said it wasn't his fault that Zach Taylor punched the ball down the middle of the field. You know, it's not his fault that, you know, the kid thought he was tackling him out of bounds. I mean, that game goes to overtime. The Bengals are going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can't – I mean, you're asking me to explain the unexplainable. I don't know. I mean, Sherman Lewis, an African-American coach, running back coach on the 49ers, star player at Michigan State, coached defense, coached off. He went on the same – he's the same – he went on about 20 interviews, couldn't get a job. Couldn't get it. Finally, he just fizzled out.
And hopefully somebody out there gives Eric Bieniemy a chance. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. He might be the best head coach ever. He might be the worst head coach ever. But the fact that he's just not being given that opportunity, I think, is what's the problem here. And
well, he's not winning the interview. I mean, he's not impressing people in the interview. Something's going on in the interview. I could see if he didn't have interviews, Fem, but he's had 12 of them. Like, he's been in front of 12 owners. He's been in front of 12 owners, and he comes with an Andy Reid recommendation. It's just the same recommendation that Nagy came with, and it's the same one that Kafka's coming with. It's the same one that Peterson came with. He's got that stamp of approval on him. And Ballard was with him in Kansas City, and he went with Steichen. I mean, so something's going on here. You just can't say he's getting he's obviously not winning the interview. You don't go through 12 of these and say it's a flawed system. And people that have worked with him, I mean, John Dorsey worked with them when he got the Cleveland job. They hired Hugh Jackson. They kept Hugh Jackson.
I think Ryan Poles came from Kansas City as well, the new general manager of the Chicago Bears, and he hired Matt Eberflus.
So, you're asking me to explain the unexplainable. I don't know. I don't sit in the interview with Bieniemy. I don't have a relationship with Bieniemy. I don't talk to him. I mean, I see him on the sidelines. I've heard things through the league, but I don't know what's true and what's not true.
Yeah, it's one of the great questions, and it comes up this time every single year because the Kansas City Chiefs continue to have an elite offense, and obviously when you have Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be the case, but we've seen a lot of coaches who have offensive production as OCs go ahead and get those head coaching jobs. Apparently, Bieniemy,
he takes the Washington job, right? He goes to Washington, and all of a sudden, he puts great numbers up. I mean, how do you ignore that? And then if you ignore
But then we're right back to square one, though, aren't we? Because then he's going to get the interview. And then, I mean, if they don't like how he's interviewing now, is he going to change who he is 12 months from now?
Well, maybe he should look at when you go for an interview, you don't get the job. You got to call the person up that interviewed and say, why didn't I get this job? You know, Martindale, why didn't I get the Indy job? Well, the reason you didn't get the Indy job is because they wanted to keep Gus Bradley all along. And they didn't think you could coach the quarterback or find the quarterback. Okay, I got that. I don't agree, but I got it, right? That's why I didn't get that job, right? If you're Lou Amoromo, they chose Gannon over you. Why? What did I do wrong in the interview? Did I, you know? Then as you brush up on that, you study. You got to figure out what I can work on. How do I get better at it?
For the Kansas City Chiefs, apparently it's working out for them. They're going to keep him as their offensive coordinator. They're not going to keep him. We'll see if they keep him because it sounds like he's going to interview for the Washington Commanders.
I don't think he stays there. I think he's going to take the Washington job.
Yeah. Well,
I'm told he's going to. I mean, if he gets offered the Washington job, he's going to take it. He doesn't want to stay there. He knows he needs to go, and I think Andy knows he needs to go. I mean, Andy has done Andy hasn't even done it. He's done it overtly. He's out there in the open saying he's got to go.
Yeah. And Andy's been campaigning for him. He's been like his biggest cheerleader saying, hey, like this guy has done a great job. He said, quote, I'm hoping Bieniemy has an opportunity to go somewhere and do his thing where he can run the show and be Eric Bieniemy is what he said on Monday. So we'll see what happens if he takes that Washington job or if he surfaces up somewhere else. We did see, Michael, this is a report that came out yesterday that Sean Payton has been in talks with Rex Ryan about the defensive coordinator job for the Denver Broncos. Ryan has now emerged as a leading candidate. That was the wording on the tweet that I saw. I believe it was from Ian Rapoport or Schefter or Pellicero, one of those guys, one of the insiders. But Rex Ryan hasn't been a coach in the NFL since 2016. He's been with our buddy over on the set of Get Up doing TV at ESPN. This is an interesting. Rex Ryan's 60 years old, hasn't been in the league for a while. Potentially now joining Sean Payton in the Rocky Mountains.
I mean, look, if I'm Sean, I mean, I don't know what Rex is doing. Does he like it? Does he not like it? You know, I mean, does he like television? But, you know, to me, it always, if you have an opportunity to go with an established coach and established program, why not? I mean, if you still have that burning desire to do it, you know, he lives in Nashville, you know, so he's kind of has roots there. He goes in, does the show. I mean, one thing I'd say this, when you leave the league, and you don't study the draft, which he clearly hasn't. Every year you don't study the draft, you get further behind. That's where coaches lose touch. They lose touch with the draft, the players, understanding the players, who's out there, who's available, who's not. It's not a personnel thing. It's really about understanding it. So, I mean, look, if he does it now, I mean, the guy who runs Seth Markman, who runs ESPN, I mean, I don't know where he only wants to hire ex-Jet coaches. So I don't know where. I mean, when you look at the staff, you got Tannenbaum there, you got Rex. I mean, don't put any guy who says he's a Jet coach.
Herm Edwards.
You got a chance to get a job. Herm, you got a chance to get a job. I mean, Herm can come back from his Arizona stint and states and boom, right away, he's right in there.
I was looking for Adam Gase. Where's our guy Gase at?
Gase could be on the list. I mean, Markham, that's all he cares about. He cares about Jet coaches. That's all he wants. That's the program is we should put the Jet banner behind it.
It is fascinating that's funny that they've hired a bunch of Jets guys.
That's a fact. Markin loves the Jets. He's a huge fan of the Jets.
Oh, well, I guess if it doesn't work out for Robert Saleh or Ted,
it has
or
nothing
Todd
to do
Bowles.
With ability. I mean, nothing to do. I mean, it's nothing. Just you're a Jet. Get in here. Come on. Let's talk about football.
JETS, baby. Let's do it. You said that you don't think that Rex Ryan studying the draft. What would lead you to that conclusion?
Yeah, listen to him.
I don't watch that programming.
I don't either. I really don't. I think to me it just distorts your, you know, I see clips on Twitter on certain guys, you know, but I mean, I don't really, I don't need to listen to it. Like, I don't really need to. I'm going to make up my own mind. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to be influenced by something somebody says.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to go about it. And that's kind of why I try to plug that out as well. you don't want any of that seeping into your brain about how they feel about the game. But Rex Ryan, he might be the guy that's going into coaching. We thought that our boy on the set might go into coaching as well. Adam Schefter tweeted yesterday, and we got tagged in this quite a bit. I'm not sure if you saw on your Twitter mentions, Michael. Thank you to everybody that tagged us in this. You're listening to the pod. We love the enthusiasm for the pod. But Indianapolis and Carolina discussed prominent offensive coaching roles with ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky before he opted to remain at the network there. We could have seen our boy up in the booth calling plays or something, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dan's very Christian-based. That fit to Carolina. I mean, that's Carolina's mantra. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that's kind of, you know, in there. And look, Indianapolis, I'm sure that if Saturday would have gotten the job, he would have probably been on the staff. But Saturday was on a lake saying goodbye to us. He was Saturday in the park on the lake. He'll be bowing back there, too, to ESPN, the worldwide leader. Look, Dan and I watch different games. He's certainly entitled to his opinion. Mm-hmm. When the game starts, he and I are seeing completely different games. There's really no sense in arguing with it. Like the more I listen to it, the more I realize we just see the game way differently from a historical perspective, from a perspective today, from his wanting to be liked on Twitter, so he changes all what he says and this outlandish stuff that which he's entitled to.
Yeah,
you know,
everyone
I just come to the point. I'm watching a different game. There's nothing you could do about it. I'm not saying my game's right and his game's wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying, why would I engage in that?
Differences of opinion is healthy in the discourse. You know, we need different ideas out there. But I did find that interesting, though, that he was discussed for a prominent offensive coaching role is how it was described by Adam Schefter on that tweet. You mentioned the Parks. Well, he's going to be on that Carolina coaching staff as the new passing game coordinator. Parks Frazier has been hired by the Panthers, obviously having the relationship with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. He was then promoted to that OC role when Jeff Saturday took over as the head coach. But the Parks is moving on up, man.
Hey, good for him. I mean, look, he was in a tough spot. I mean, that poor
guy.
Very
tough spot.
No help. You know, I mean, he learned a lot. He should really just spend a whole month decompressing and writing everything down, because that's going to benefit his career moving forward, because he was not equipped for the job, nor did he ask for the job. But now he had it, and he kind of got through it. Not I'm saying it was good. But, I mean, if I were him, I would study those tapes and study my week preparation, and I would basically come out with a book with all the things that you could have learned from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to go on that Carolina coaching staff. I believe Jim Caldwell, who we discussed in this podcast, is going to be a senior offensive analyst. So there's guys that he can learn from on that coaching staff in Carolina as they continue to assemble what looks to be a pretty competent coaching staff there in the NFC South. All right, let's take our final break. We'll get to some key offseason dates on the other side as we wrap up the GM shuffle. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I mean, we have a plethora of games to bet on. You can bet on game by game, totals, sides, series props, conference finals, MVP, NBA finals, MVP, whatever you want. DraftKings has it. So all you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, before we get out of here, let's just outline, Michael, kind of the off-season dates that we should be aware of, because everyone says, all right, the NFL off-season is here. Well, when you take a look at the calendar, I'm not sure if we're getting an off-season in the NFL now that that Super Bowl's been pushed back. There's no off-season.
Oh,
the off-season is July.
No off-season.
Whenever
Rome is burning. Rome is burning. There's no off-season.
When everybody breaks out of mini camp, that's when the off-season begins. And then it's about 3-4 weeks, and everybody reports to training camp, and we're right back starting this thing. But coming up next Tuesday, teams can begin to designate franchise or transition tag players. That'll be next Tuesday. The scouting combine in Indianapolis, that begins on the 28th, goes until March 6th. Chance for all the kind of the power brokers around the league to start putting the frameworks around these deals here. And from a front office standpoint, what is the job that's done now between the scouting combine, which begins later on this month?
Well, I mean, first of all, the coaches get involved with the pro free agency board. They got to grade all the pro players. You know, the number one thing you have to do as an executive is you have to come up with your team needs list. So you have to have, we must have this, we need that, and we would want this. So it's must, need, want. And for you to get back on the field, Al Davis always wanted to be able to enter the offseason at least knowing he had a team that he could put out on the field. He had, you know, not that it was going to be a good team, but he could put a team on the field. So you want to try to do that. Now you got to layer the cap into that. And so then you should start going through, grading your board, and then working on the draft simultaneously, because the draft is a separate entity. You don't want the draft to then come in and influence, well, I'm not going to draft this guy. You know, like what happened to Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to take Solomon Thomas because I'm going to trade for Kirk Cousins. Well, you didn't get Kirk Cousins, and you lost out on Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to almost have to have separate departments. So this is, again, this is trying to operate three things at the same time, which is essentially what all organizations have to do to create vertical alignment, is you've got to have all three things working at the same time, but working in unison. And that's what starts. And then somebody's got to bring it all together. Somebody's got to listen to it all, kind of say, okay, we like this guy, how it relates to our scheme, how does he fit, what can he do for us, and we'll go from there.
Later on in March, March 7th will be the deadline for teams to designate franchise or transition tag players. 4 o'clock Eastern will be the deadline for that day. Obviously, Lamar Jackson of the Ravens, we're expecting the exclusive tag. Tony Pollard of the Cowboys, maybe he's a franchise tag candidate. Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith, perhaps, if they can't find a deal. Or the Giants, maybe with Daniel Jones, if they can't work something out between now and March 7th. So that is the deadline for the franchise or transition tag. Also, that same day, college pro days can begin as draft season continues after the scouting combine. Less than a month from today, March 13th, legal tampering period begins, where teams can agree to terms with unrestricted free agents. The period ends on March 15th, 3:59 p.m. Eastern time, because at 4 o'clock Eastern on March 15th will be the start of the new league year. Free agency officially begins. All those agreed upon contracts become official. Trades can become official as well. And also every team must be under the salary cap for the 2023 season. So this thing is less than a month away. We're talking about teams making moves, quarterbacks changing places, all sorts of acquisitions coming up here. This is going to be a lot of fun over this next month.
Yeah, no, it's going to be. And it's going to be interesting to see the allocation of money, how teams treat it. You know, what do they do? Do they sign this player? I think the running back tag is cheap, so we'll see running backs get tagged. I think the conversation we're not having that's kind of snuck underneath the radar a mm-hmm. little bit is this: the Ravens not telling people who their quarterback was going to be that interviewed them, right? And so, you know, to me, that's like, who's going to be the Ravens quarterback? Are they going to listen to offers on Lamar because they can't sign him? Where are they going? I think that's kind of interesting to go from there.
Well, so you're saying that when they hired Todd Monken out of Georgia, they didn't really assure him that Lamar Jackson was going to be his quarterback?
Yeah, that's the reports. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I think, mm-hmm. to me, knowing the Ravens and understanding how they operate, I'm not saying Lamar won't be back, but they're too analytical to not value and measure what they think they might get or what it costs. I mean, and why shouldn't you? That should be the right approach. Like, you should take that look. It only reinforces if you want to bring them back.
Yeah. No, it's that Ravens Lamar thing. Where they keep him? Do they tag him? Does he want to sign the tag, or does he hold out to try to get a bigger contract until the July 15th deadline? Like, there's going to be so many layers with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. March 26th will be the annual league meeting down in Phoenix at the Biltmore. I don't think we'll be attending that one, but I'm sure we'll hear some stuff out of there. And then April 3rd. You want to say something about the?
Well, I'm hopefully by that time we'll be in the mob museum over there in Las Vegas. We could do a podcast from there around all the mobsters. That'd be awesome.
That would be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for that. April 3rd, teams with new head coaches may begin offseason workout programs. And April 17th, teams with their returning head coaches can begin offseason workout programs. And then April 27th to the 29th, finally, the NFL draft in Kansas City. And then we'll get the selection meeting, and then we're off into it's rookie camp and mini camp, and then here we go again. So a lot to look forward to over spring, just because it's cold outside. There's no football this weekend. Well, there's no NFL football this weekend. We got the XFL this weekend. I'm not sure if you're going to be watching that, Michael.
I'm going to watch. Give it a shot.
Do a little scouting.
Yeah, they go. We'll see if our girl Stormy's doing good on the sideline. We'll see how she's holding up.
Yeah, she'll be doing the Seattle Sea Dragons and DC Defenders game in our nation's capital. So I'll tune in there to see my hometown.
The weather's going to be great. It'll be warm too.
Yeah, there we go. Absolutely love that. And also for the pod, because people have been asking, wondering, saying, all right, hey, what's going on with the podcast now that the offseason has started? The offseason means we ain't going anywhere. The pod is going to continue. We're going to keep shuffling, and we're going to keep shuffling Mondays and Thursdays. That will be the goal, to do Mondays and Thursdays. So we're not going to go to one a week. We'll go to two a week still here on the podcast throughout the offseason. So you ain't getting rid of us just because football has come to a conclusion here. So,
and all I can tell you is you're on the count, Femi. Either you start turning on the Sopranos or your ass ain't going to be here in 6 months. I'm telling you that. You might have a shorter reign than Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah, we're going to get the Sopranos done. Although the two podcasts might cut into the time here, because I got to do that extra prep time.
No excuses. I don't want to hear it. One wrong, all wrong. Either you get your ass moving, or people are going to get like, you got to, you know, like, you come heavy or don't come at all here.
The pitchforks will be out if I don't finish The Sopranos. So we're going to get that going. Probably start, we're going to restart that this weekend, I think, with The Sopranos.
And I'm just telling you.
I'm gonna
by the time we get to that mob museum in Vegas when I'm out there for the month and a half, you better make sure you got it down.
I watched season one last off season, and then football started to come around.
You keep patting yourself on the back for that. That's like not an achievement. You got six seasons to watch. Like, let's get going here. Like saying the Eagles had the lead 7-0. Yeah, it's great. You know, how'd that game turn out?
We won the first quarter. Don't ask me about the remaining three. But we will get that done over the course of the offseason. Thank you, as always, all the listeners and the viewers. We appreciate the enthusiasm. Subscribe, rate, and review. It really helps us out on the podcast charts. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman, as well with us on the ones and twos. Thank you to DraftKings. Thank you to VSiN. Thank you to you, Michael. I'll talk to you on Monday, buddy.
I will see you on Monday, my man.
We're going to keep this thing rolling, and we'll talk to you guys then. Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, as somebody who's trying to get into golf, I need to start fresh. Where do I get good golf clubs? Well, you got to start with your driver, right? So I needed to find a place that would help get me set up with something that's customizable to my game that is ever so developing. That's where our friends at PXG really step up, because nobody makes golf clubs the way they do. PXG clubs have absolutely incredible customizable technology that'll have you playing your best. I mean, shout out to my buddy Chris out here in Henderson, Nevada, who's hooking me up with a driver. I'm supposed to pick it up next week. It's going to be great as I go out there onto the range and test this thing out. You can find a PXG location for your own personal fitting, to where you go through the simulation process. They figure out what you need. Do you need more club speed? Do you need more grip? Whatever you need, they get it done for you. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving club will play, so you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and to get distance. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology and you get incredible ball speed that pushes distance to the absolute limits. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's lost its meaning, but trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/gmshuffle and use code GMshuffle at checkout. That's pxg.com/gmshuffle, code GMshuffle for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/gmshuffle, code GMshuffle.